Hello, this is the January 17, 2006 meeting of the National Finance Committee. This is Dave Adelson. I'm chair of the committee. Casey McFaul is the secretary. Casey, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, Adelson.
Here.
Allen. Bediako.
Here.
Gatewood.
Here.
Hesley.
Present.
Hicks.
Here.
McFaul is here. Roberts. Tattersall. Weinman.
Excuse me. Brian Edwards Teakert is now the treasurer of the KPFA LSB.
Thank you.
And he's been added to the list.
Weinman. Williams. We have six. That's a quorum.
Okay, great. The proposed agenda that was sent around had the scheduling of the next meeting, the roll call and approval of the agenda, 5 minutes, scheduling the next meeting, 5 minutes, approval of previous minutes, 5 minutes, CFO report for 15 minutes, budget reforecasts, the consideration of any budget reforecasts approved by LSBs for our recommendation of the PMB at the upcoming meeting, January 27th through 29th, for 15 minutes. 15 minutes on the budget calendar, which is voting on the final budget calendar proposal for presentation of the board. The Spanish language programming funding motion, 15 minutes. Consideration of LaVarne Williams' motion on a meeting of treasurers and business managers, 15 minutes. Review of available financial data, half an hour. Surplus and reserves working group report, 15 minutes. General ledger working group report, 10 minutes. That was the proposed agenda. Does anybody want to move approval of that, and then we can amend it?
I move to approve. Patty here does.
Okay. Any amendments?
Excuse me, Dave. Before we go on, we should mention we have guests on the line also.
Oh, good point. Yes, we have guests, the current interim executive director, Ambrose Lane, and we've invited, the incoming executive director, Greg Guma, to join us on the call. I think he stepped off briefly. Roberts permits guests to attend meetings if it has the approval of the committee. Is there any objection to Greg joining us on the call? Okay, hearing none, then I'll assume the committee approves it. Thanks, Casey. So on the agenda, any proposed changes? Okay, then hearing none, is there any objection to adopting that agenda? Okay, then it's adopted. The next item is scheduling of the next meeting, 5 minutes. We have a PNB meeting starting a week from this coming Friday. So are we going to need to meet again before then?
No.
I don't think so either.
If we get everything done here, we won't. If we do, who knows? But, you know, it'd be good to hammer this out so we actually have stuff to bring.
Yeah, and we have to get, I have to get the final report in to Lynn Magno for inclusion in the board packets, basically, after we get off the call. So do we want to schedule a meeting for after the PNB meeting, or should we, because presumably we'll have new members at that time, and I guess the chair will appoint a convener, so the other possibility is leaving it up to that person.
I think we should schedule.
I would schedule my vote is to just so we keep, you know, so we don't wait for someone to convene and they wait around and everything. I think it'd be good to have a finance meeting ready to go. If they want to change it or something, they could do that.
Okay. Is Tuesdays a continuing good day? Do we want Thursdays?
Tuesday.
Lonnie, do you have a particular preference since we know you'll be here?
Monday and Tuesdays are always Thursday I prefer.
Thursday you prefer?
Yeah.
Okay. How would Thursday, February 9th be too soon? Should we do the 16th? The Thursdays in February are the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd.
I like the 16th.
Okay.
Because that gives me some time for those financials.
Okay. Brian wrote to me in an email saying that he, in general, he can't make it until after 5 on Pacific time. He prefers 6, but he recognized that the East Coast folks, 6 is starting rather late. So what do people think of doing 5 p.m. Pacific?
This is Jane. I could tolerate that.
Okay, 5 p.m. Pacific on the 16th of February?
Yes, that's fine. That works for me.
It'd be nice to plan the meetings to not go past 2.5 hours, though.
Well, and a big part of it was also, you know, people getting on at the stated meeting time, which will make life easier.
Will our agenda be 2.5 hours, Mr. Chair?
Okay, yeah, we'll say yes. So 150 minutes. Let's go 877. Okay. All right. So I will.
This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. We're just about to approve a next meeting date of Thursday, February 16th at 7 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern.
Because
time.
We couldn't get quorum.
No, we have quorum. We're just scheduling the next meeting.
Super. I'm very, very sorry to be late. I thought I had another meeting tonight, and I'm just kind of like in a dither.
Okay.
So when is the next meeting?
February 16th, 2006.
Look here.
8 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern.
7. I already have something scheduled that day, but you know what? I think that I will not be on the Finance Committee because we have another Sandy Weinman, who is our treasurer now. I think he'll be on the Finance Committee.
Okay.
So I think more power to you.
Right.
February the 16th. In fact, I'll send him an email to that effect.
Okay. All right, so without objection then, we're scheduled for 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday, February 16th. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is the CFO report, approval of available minutes. Casey, do you want to report on the status of the December 22nd and 29th minutes?
The minutes, well, the 22nd, I think, are those were approved. The 29th are not available.
That's right.
Okay,
so
unless I can get to that computer before the end of the meeting.
Is there a motion to defer approval of those minutes till the next meeting? Any objection? Okay, so we'll approve the 12:29 minutes at the Feb 16th 2006 meeting.
Point of order?
Yes.
It's not a big deal, but can I put that Ambrose made the motion?
Oh, I thought that was Lonnie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lonnie, I'm sorry.
Was that your voice, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so if there's no objection to that, then the next item is the CFO report. 15 minutes. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Okay, I'll be brief, because last time we did go over the written CFO report, and what I've done is, that was a draft, so what I've done is I have gone over it, and this is the last, I'll send out the new one. Basic numbers don't change, bottom line doesn't change, but what I did is I tried to make it more presentable and printable, which some folks said that's difficult to print it out. So I'll send it out to the Finance Committee in its present form, and I'll have some written copies available for the board. But again, the summary of that CFO report, which is called the year-end financial report, is really looking at the preliminary audit, how our year went financially. I won't go back over it, because I think we did that last time on the call, went over that report in some detail. I would like to take advantage of this opportunity to mention some of the other larger financial issues that I haven't really mentioned before. So I want to put them out as something that's on my list, and I will likely report out on at the board meeting. The first one is I had wanted to have a budget change form available, but I will have it tomorrow, which I'll send out to folks so that, turns out we were trying to get it on one page. It will not fit on one page. So we're going to have a budget change form for revenue and expense changes, that is to say line item changes, separated from salary changes. And that will be different. And so we're going to end up with two pieces of paper.
Lonnie, when you say a form, who fills out these forms?
It will be the GM working with the business manager who will fill them out, and they'll send them along. Remember, we now are in a situation where we have two new finance tools that we're working with. One of them, as you recall, when the board passed the budget, there was an additional motion also passed where item changes to the categories, programming, administration, development, where they exceeded 50,000 or 10%, were to be brought to the LSBs and the board through the finance for approval. That is new. That is a new proviso and a new tool that we're working with. And at this point, I don't know how many stations have changes in that dimension, but like I said, I want to put out a call. The second area that we're working with that is fairly new is we've had discussions here in this committee where we're saying that items that fall below that threshold, below the 50,000 and the 10%, could be looked at in terms of what changes folks need or think they need to look at in terms of a reforecast. And the form itself, as we discussed here, would be separated between those items that change the bottom line, and we would call those budget changes, because they're different than the bottom line budget passed by the board. And those changes that do not affect the bottom line, which we would call adjustments. And the form would be one where folks could identify whether they're putting forth a change or an adjustment. I'm sorry I didn't have it out for you, but I promise I will. And that would be sort of how we would look at the various kinds of changes that do come up at each station. Now, I did caution, talking to some of the board people, some folks feel that a budget is a budget, should not change, and that budget revision process, whether we call it a change or revision, is not something that should be tackled. Some board people feel that it is permissible to make changes within board guidelines, and we do have board guidelines now, and they feel that we should come forth with what we got, consider this a learning experience, and have a look at what the dimensions of change might be. And not willing to commit to a policy on it, but willing to see how it would actually go. How many changes do we have? How many dollars are involved? So I'll take responsibility for getting those forms to the GMs and the business managers and members of the finance committee. It's done. It is just that we've been overwhelmed with a number of things. The board packet is turning out to be quite a project this time around. All right, that would be the issue of budget. I know we're going to discuss it later, but I thought I'd give a preview. The next item on my list is the December financials. As you know, the December financials aren't really due until the 5th of the following month, and December would be ordinarily due February 5th. But I am rushing the December financials. They will be available at the board meeting on a pro forma basis, that is, for using estimated numbers. But that's a quarterly report, so I thought that that might be useful, and that will be made available. The other area is the new format changes.
Lonnie, hang on just a sec. Who joined the call just now?
Yeah, I did. It's Lamari.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm also back, incidentally.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt, Lonnie. Go ahead.
So those three items, I'm just going to go through a little checklist here. CFO report, which I, of course, advise we all read closely, is the budget change form, which is the question of how we as an organization make those budget changes that organizations may need to make. I mentioned that several board members I've talked to have different minds. Budgets are changed, others feel otherwise. I mentioned the December financials. That is, we're working on those financials. It's early, and we're rushing people through. They will not be able to complete it normally. It's by the 25th of the month. So what we did is we rushed to close so we could have some estimated numbers, and I will pull and published. Sent to the Finance Committee, Greg, and some of the GMs estimated numbers for December, so that we have a full quarter's data to work with. And I'll have those financials available on hand, and I can email them out to people that want advanced copies. And it's good to do that. The reason I'm doing it was October, November, and December. It's a quarter's worth of data, and that might be useful. The other topics that I have on my list that I will be looking at in the context of this board meeting is we had, from CPB, grants made available, and a number of our stations applied for those grants, to digitize the transmitters and to look at Pacifica's digital plans for the future. Most of the stations did apply for those grants, and now we're in the process of looking at what the actual cost and the steps will be to digitize the transmitters and to digitize Pacifica. No, there are a number of issues that are involved in that, a number of serious decisions that have to be made. As you know, it's not just a one-step process. If you do the transmitter, then you're looking at the channels that would be made available through the digitization process. Then you're looking at how you will relate to local digitization efforts. Some of our cities, we've got wireless initiatives going. Here at Berkeley, we have KPFA on Comcast, our local cable network, that we are looking at the additional costs that may be needed to do full digitization. That is to say, the cost of that transmitter is only half of what it will cost. We'd have to look at the funds to completely digitize. And in addition, there are some translator materials, some translator equipment that will be needed to digitize the way we interface with our own satellite. So there are additional costs for digitization that are not in our current budget, and we would need to look at how we would fund it. How much? My estimate is around $150,000 if all the stations were to.
$150,000 above what the CPB gave us?
Yeah, they want a match.
Okay.
So we'd end up having to find the match funds, which we probably could do. But some stations would, some would not. $75,000, which is the average grant. It's quite a bit of money for some stations. Not to mention the other equipment that would be needed to digitize integrate with the satellite, because affiliates would be involved in this as well. So it's not a one-step process. It's complicated a little bit, and it costs money. So,
may I ask a question?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to wait till the end?
I've got a couple of more items, and then my 15 minutes will be
all right.
The other one is another financial concern that I have is the fall Arbitron numbers are out. The first station that has come out, remember, they don't do them all at once, but the first station is, as it turns out, WBAI. And I don't know how many of you have access to their Arbitron numbers, but as soon as the stations come out, we'll decide, you know, what we do with it as a board. But I mentioned the I think I sent an article around saying that radios in general, the numbers are down. And it's the Arbitron people have viewed with alarm, where they said it's first, a lot of firsts, first time in 2 years, they've been down 2 years in a row, et cetera, et cetera. Looking at WBAI figures, I'm comparing fall of 2004. What we show is that WBAI's listener figures are 260,500. That it would be fall of 2004. Comparing it to fall 2005, that number is 188,000. Say, listener figures went from 1 down to the 188. Now, that could be a glitch in the Arbitron numbers. I think many times it's been pointed out that the Arbitron base, survey base, is rather limited, and comparatively few people, and one or two people not filling out a diary or doing something like that can have impact on the numbers. But for purposes of comparison, give you over a 3 years worth of data here from 2003 to 2005, see that WBAI's numbers have normally hovered in the between 255 and a high of in the summer of 2004, 341,000. You can see that that's related to the election period. But the numbers are usually the 200 to 250,000. And in spring 2005, they dipped down to 166,000. The summer 2005, 244, and fall, as I said before, 188. These numbers will come through for each of the stations as Arbitron releases these numbers. The reason I bring it up is because falling audience numbers are a serious financial concern. And one thing we will have to do, in my estimation, is see what strategy we may pose. And I'll speak to it at the board meeting, what I think, around what to do with the audience situation. You all know the drill. We have an aging audience, 52 average age. Democracy Now!'s average age for their audience member is 54, even higher. We are not attracting replacements for the loyal people who have been with us now, since the people, those folks who are in their 20s and 30s. Outreach, you all know the drill. We need outreach to those ethnic communities. Our numbers are not what they should be in terms of attracting minorities, at least if we're going to have replacements for the listeners that we're losing.
Can I just ask a quick question? This is Lauren. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Can you, like, all the points you're making, are you going to have a sheet at the board meeting outlining all of these things, and maybe we can discuss them better?
That's what I was thinking. I was going to try to just point out some ones that had huge financial impacts, and that'll be part of my presentation. So I'm about finished, Lavar.
Okay.
About finished.
Because I have a question, too. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just about finished. Some, aside from the ones that are always on my list, like our aging physical plant. We have stations and equipment that are aging. And we have, needs to rehab some of our facilities, if not bring them up to code. That is not in the budget. Capital needs are not in the budget. So, again, we need money for fairly large projects. How much? Well, my best estimate, if we include digitization and capital needs are such, if you don't pay for it now, you pay for it later if the foundation gets bad or there's flooding or there's need. Sooner or later you pay. That minimum number will be 250 to 500,000. Remember, we have a PRA situation where our archives are literally aging before our very eyes, and we haven't done much in that area. So the maximum number, count the archives, their estimates for restoring some of that data is up to $12 million, But the low number, 250 to 500, mid-range number, about a million. Top number, 12 million, 13 million, that's rounded off to 15 million. That would be to fix a lot of the things that the network is looking at in terms of financial need. Anyway, that's it.
In the agenda, we left 15 minutes for the CFO report, and then we moved to the next item on the agenda, which was budget reforecast. We've used the 15 minutes for that. Do people want to add 10 to 15 minutes now to ask questions?
I move that we add 15 minutes to ask questions.
Are there objections? Okay, hearing none, we'll add 15 minutes to ask questions.
So I'd like to get on the stack.
Lavarne.
Okay. Yeah, Lavarne had said so. Well, okay, go, Lavarne and then Teresa.
No, I think Teresa actually asked
okay.
First.
I thought
can
you
I get
asked.
On the stack too, Dave?
Sure, so we'll just do
a... Casey also, please.
Okay, so I have Teresa, Lavarne, Perudi, Casey. I'll go after that. Anybody else? Okay, Teresa, go ahead. And try and keep the whole to around 3 minutes.
I do want to remind people, I don't know, maybe it was Mark Roberts, somebody was upset when Steve Pierce came on the phone. And when we're talking about digitization and the CFO says, oh, and it's going to involve the affiliates, that's one reason why we should have an affiliates director on here. And that's another good reason why I want to know if we have a tech person. Do we have a tech staff person?
Well, as you know, Teresa, we don't. We hired the tech people on a contract basis to
stream particular broadcast, as we do with national programming now. We don't have a national programming director either. And we're hiring, you know, sort of bringers to national programming. That awaits executive director what he may want to do about those issues. Greg will be here in a week or so, so I'm assuming that we'll see a movement around those issues.
Well, when we talk about digitization, we're saying, well, KPFK is doing this and KPFA is doing this, and sounds like people are involved in different projects. I'm wondering, you know, who's going to coordinate this? So I think we need a technical person with some vision, and I think we need a tech committee that meets. And, you know, I know very, very little about technology, but I'll convene it if necessary. But, God, I think we need something like this. I'm not liking the answers I hear. I mean, I don't care who we hire in particular, but we need somebody that's looking at the big picture. And no offense, Lonnie, but I just don't think that you're the one to be looking at this, you know, the vision for the tech, where it's going to go. And that's, thank you. Thank you for letting me vent.
Well, I'm not the one looking at it.
Lonnie, I don't think we have time right now since it was a statement. We'll let you sum up at the end, but I want to get to all the specific questions, if that's all right. Go ahead, LaVarne.
Actually, Teresa asked the same question I was going to ask. You know, who is the point person on this? And if all the people are moving forward this and it's not coordinated by a person with technical experience, I think we really don't know what the real costs are, because that person could give you, like, in terms of any economies of scale that we can achieve by a person who would have the expertise to know exactly what's needed and where the direction is going for digitalization in the medium. So that's just the point. So you can respond to Teresa's point, or that, you know, just, well, Greg's on the call, so I guess we can appeal to Greg at this point, too, that, you know, this is like kind of like what is a rudderless boat or whatever, because you cannot move forward in any direction unless you have a person with vision, a person with expertise in that field.
I'm going to address one piece of that in my question. Would it be okay if he waits until I throw my carrot into that soup?
Sure, because mine's kind of a comment, too. Go ahead.
Okay, Baruti?
Yes, I just wanted to ask Lonnie if when he sends out this budget request, modification request form, if he would include those approved guidelines that he said that the board had already put in place.
Yeah.
And the second thing is I want to make sure that I got the Arbitron figures right for BI that you said the fall 04. What was that number? Was it
261,500 for fall 04. I'll tell you what, I'll send you the email that covers 2003 to 2005.
Right, great, because I'm sure if any BI folk are listening, it's going to come up, so I want to make sure that I have the same numbers.
I'll send it to you, Baruti. I'll send it right now.
Okay.
Casey?
Thank you. I have two questions, Lonnie. One of them has to do with the recent airing of the Alito hearings, and that there was fundraising done after those hearings. People were asked to call an 800 number. And I'm just wondering how that's working, how much money came in, how that income's reflected in the budget. Does that go to national programming? Was there a question or any way to determine what stations the calls came from, and how are we determining what membership is if people call in and donate that are not already members? That's my first question. And the second one has to do with inventory. And it basically has to do with, I'm assuming that the foundation does a regular annual inventory of all of our equipment and everything like that, where the equipment is and, you know, how it's stored and where it's stored. But a couple meetings ago, we, you know, were told that we have an annual parking lot sale where we sell right before the holidays a lot of leftover premiums and stuff, and we brought in $10,000 on that. But it occurred to me that $10,000, you know, wasn't all profit, because we paid out. We spend almost a $250,000 a year at our station on premiums. And even though they're in and out rather quickly, I'm wondering if, you know, the value and cost of those need to be reflected somewhere in inventory, and then reduced as they go in and out, so we really know what we're making and what we're not. So those are my two questions.
Yeah, to answer the second one first, we absolutely do need to know what the inventory costs are as they go in and out. And yes, there is an annual inventory and should be. We do get estimates from the business managers and the, in many cases, the subscription people who handle the inventory directly. But there's room for improvement in the system. And the auditor will speak to that when he makes his presentation. On the first question, on the issue of with Alito hearings, for example, was money raised? Well, the intent was, but it didn't work out very well. They could only raise about $400.
$400? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, did not work out very well at all.
Is that net or gross, Lonnie?
That's gross. Well, take your choice. But it was just, a number of things occurred on the broadcast that made the solicitation component of it not work very well. So we closed the door on that one. The previous one, we did better. We did a one where we did plan to do solicitations, and we raised about $17,000 or $18,000. The broadcast paid for itself. This time around, that was not the case.
So when you say the broadcast paid for itself, are you saying that the money raised for this goes directly to national programming to pay for that particular program?
Yeah, that's what we did last time. We identified a budget, of course, for the Roberts hearing, which is the one I'm referring to. And that thing was going to cost us about $17,000 or $18,000, so we took that as our goal to raise those funds, and we did.
I see. And then if people call who are not already members, how are we handling that?
Well, it was a call center that was used.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the call center doesn't do frills, and my understanding is they just you call in, they get your player, they get your number, they get your name, and they try to make sure that they just pass that along to us. Now, whether folks are like national members or local members, I don't think it's gone that far at this point. Is there a mailing list? I'm looking into that now to see. But the $400 one, you know, there's not very many people.
Right.
And we haven't really done it before. I mean, the Roberts hearing was one of the few times I think we tried solicitation. So there's only been two where names calling in were an issue. I think it was done some years ago, but it was the first time in some years, I'm told, that it's been tried. So there's not a whole lot of new names coming out of the process.
So you're saying that the names are being cross-referenced with all of the station's membership lists?
Yeah, trying to see if there's any overlap and duplication. And Phil on our staff is doing that work.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Such work made hellish by entry errors.
Yeah.
But I had a couple of things. One on that mail, on the mailing issue. I think at some point we need to develop a coherent strategy on when we're doing mailings from both. Right now our listeners are getting mailings from national, some of them who are on other lists, from the local station, and now from Democracy Now as well. So we're going to have to figure out how we deal with that. But the things that I wanted to deal with were, first, apropos what LaVarne and Teresa raised, let me say one other thing. If we can only raise $400 when a guy like Alito is going to be put on the court for God knows how many years, we're in serious trouble. No disrespect to anybody involved here, but that should be alarming our listenership. No end. Anyhow, what kind of money do we have available in the salary line right now for the kinds of things that Teresa and LaVarne were raising? Somebody with some technical expertise, and in particular with Greg coming in now as ED, the question's been raised whether we have funds available to have a transition team in place who could assist him dealing with the impending issues or the urgent issues around being able to develop some national programming with a stronger fundraising component and the tech questions. What is the status of our national office salary line? What's available?
Well, I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but we had in the salary line item, we're going to hire on a
program coordinator beginning in the month of January. That is to say, assuming a hire took place in December. And there was a salary line item there. And
starting for December?
Starting January.
January.
That, you know, somehow or other the hiring process would start in December. Right now, it doesn't look like our chances of getting a program national program director in, the earliest would be February, March. Now, are there funds left, therefore, available in that line item? Answer, probably not, because we also have picked up additional expenses with Greg's incoming salary starting on the 24th and Ambrose being on board for a 60-day period.
Well, that what job title is that for Ambrose during that 60 days?
Interim, I guess. The board didn't give a job title. They didn't do it. They just probably, my understanding, he's sort of like allowed some overlap in training time.
Okay.
Transition.
Is it paid as salary or as consultancy?
This is Patty.
Well, if I read the board motion, it says that Ambrose will be available 60 days.
Okay. All right, Annie, go on, and then I'll recognize you, Patty.
Oh, thank you.
Well, if that's the case, and I sent this to the board, I sent out to the board what the financial implications are of that motion. And I said that what I found when I looked at it, of course, it's always flexible. People can change their plans, but not people, of course, will be trying to save money. But worst case is that it would cost us an additional $24,000. And so that effectively eats up, you know, available monies that might come from that national program coordinator line. Now, another reason to hold off on the hire was that you have an incoming ED. The incoming ED might need to weigh in on whether or not to hire that position. At any rate, the funds are made available. On the national technical director, the funding for that was down to halftime, which was about what we were paying in consultant and paying Otis and Donna Mellish and the rest of the folks for streaming our meetings. So it's about what we were spending. So it's what we are continuing to spend. So it's not sort of extra money. It's money we were spending on the consultant side, and the idea was to get a person permanently to do it in-house and therefore alleviate the uncertainty around each meeting. That is both board and committee meetings. And still looking at that, again, something for an incoming ED to look at.
Well, just before I go to Patty, and I do have a couple other issues, but I think Patty wanted to comment on what we were talking about. There were also things like an administrative assistant in there. There was a position for operations, a part-time salary there. There were other bits of money in the national salary line. What's the status of that as of right now? Are we at budget, over budget, or under budget?
This is Jane. I'd like to get in also if there's a chance.
Okay.
Well, on our administrative assistant, we have an interim person, and so those monies are going to be used, are being used, and then we'll open it up, and we'll. So you use up those line item dollars.
Okay.
What was the other position? We got the
operations.
Oh yeah, that would be the operations person. We gave notice to that person wasn't a full time salary. It was a person on disability, and I don't want to talk about it. But at this point, that person's dollars are ending from us. As of the end of this month.
And, I'm just going to say two quick things and call on the others so we don't have to come back to me. One, on the question of the audience numbers and raising money, we had talked on the surplus and reserve working group about the fact that it's not just saving up money, but we also need to be investing money because a lot of those listeners are going to other forms of listening, notably listening on the web, listening to things like iPods. Cell phones are going to start delivering audio. There's XM. There's other things besides radio out there. and we're going to have to invest some money in being in other places other than the radio dial. The other question was related to the WBI audience numbers, the WBI financial position, but I'm going to yield because we're about out of time. So, Patty, and then...
Hi. Well, just to clarify, I guess the intent of the motion of the... as Ambrose retention, it's basically a retention of Ambrose for a period of up to 60 days from Mr. Guma's start date to help with the transition. Salary shall remain the same, will be paid as an administration expense from the national office. So, I mean, basically the intent, I think, was as a consultant person and... As a,
Did it say up to 2 months? So actually,
up to 60 days, and as an administration expense from the national office. That's what was passed.
Well, that doesn't read to me as automatically a consultant. I mean, a lot of salaries are out of admin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess that was sort of, I believe, the intent. You know, everything you're rushing around trying to do something. Doesn't every word is not in there. So, well, whatever, then I guess they'll decide, won't they? Won't be me, will it? As far as the operation person also, who is that?
Well, you know, that was Valerie.
Oh, right. Okay. And the, again, consultants in the national office. How many people we got as consultants there, like on a... you know, stable, steady basis. Do we, wasn't there somebody that wasn't working and then decided to become like a consultant, and did he get back hired, or did that go back to a consultant, or what?
Yeah, we got a person we hired back for some, we got to do the 57th anniversary of Pacifica's coming up in March, April. And we got this fellow coming back as a consultant. I mean, we're going to hire him on for 6 weeks, temporary, just to get that mailing together, do the list calling, do the, you know, the eliminating the duplicates we talked about before, and the acquisition mailing. That's going to be for 6 weeks if we had some money. But our permanent people would be people like Don Mosel, who does our broadcast engineering. He's a regular monthly consultant. John Kriegler is a regular consultant we use. We have a computer consultant that maintains our network. Two of them, one does the Citrix, the other one does the River. We have a consultant for our accounting software, Great Plains. And we have consultants that, those are the ones that are permanent. The rest of them are occasionals.
And so the other person we hired back for 6 weeks, that was like a hire again?
Yeah, 6 weeks to get the anniversary mailing list together, Pacifica's 57th anniversary.
So that kind of thing doesn't require like a job posting or anything like that?
Just for 6 weeks as temporary employee.
Oh, okay.
Out the door.
Okay.
Jane.
Okay, this is going a little bit outside of our committee, but since we've been talking about the programming, National Programming Director, I just want to kind of put in a note that in the context of discussing this national programming proposal, it's become apparent that quite a few of our local station board members are very concerned about the what the role of a national program director will be and basically how that will impact on local autonomy, which is very important to a lot of people. So even though it is outside of our committee, I just want to make a note that that position, even though it was perhaps voted upon, I think more than 2 years ago, I suspect, because it was in place in the budget when I started a year ago, that it's not very widely understood at a local level here in D.C., and I don't know how that situation could change, but I just want to make note of that to all concerned.
Jane.
And we're at time. Go ahead, Ambrose.
We were very careful not to do anything with that because we felt the permanent ED coming on should have input in decisions regarding that whole position.
Of course, yeah.
So we purposely didn't do anything with that.
Okay. Well, we're at time on this agenda item. Some of these things will come back up in other sections of the agenda. I'd like to move on. The next thing was budget reforecasts, and here what we're talking about is budget, the reforecasting process that Lonnie alluded to earlier, if there were any LSBs, and I know Kay was one of them, that have asked for budget, I don't know what we're going to call this, adjustments, reforecast, whatever. But what we've got now is 15 minutes consideration of any budget reforecast approved by respective LSBs for our recommendation. Is there anybody besides KPFK who's done a budget reforecast for this board meeting? Okay.
Then. We'll have some out of the national office, as you know.
Okay, well, then let's deal with K's, and then let's do the national office.
Dave, what's the mute here? Pound, pound, one, or?
No, here it's star six, is it? Or star seven? Patty, do you remember? Star six, I think.
Thank you.
Try talking now. Okay, we can't hear you, so you are muted. All right, so Casey, do you want to present KPFKs?
Yeah, here's our situation, is that we have some adjustments that need to be made to the budget. Specifically, our new union contract calls for a 5% increase in salaries, and our budget was forecast at 4.5%. So there was a need for another 0.5% in salaries, which is a little over $55,000. And then if it's appropriate to add the corresponding benefits with it, that'd be another $15,000, a little more than $15,000. There was also apparently the salary for one position that was left out of the budget, which was about $35,000 plus the benefits to that, which would make it about $45,000. And then there was $10,000 in outreach money that was approved by our LSB during the initial budget process that somehow did not get into the budget. So basically what we were looking at is about 111 to, depending on benefits, another 111 to 120. $5,000 in increased expenditures. So we spent many hours trying to go through the budget and figure out how we were going to put those expenditures in and where we were going to cut. And, you know, to be honest, when we were looking at where we were based on the information that we had, which was not a lot, we look like we're pretty far behind, especially when we know that we need to have a one-month reserve at the end of the year, and we look at what came in from the first fund drive as compared to what our budget forecast was. You remember that we forecast income of $3.1 million, but we have fund drive goals being given out at $950,000. You know, we go over that goal and we hit a million, but still with our fulfillment rate, as of now, we look like we brought in about $860,000. So that puts us a little bit behind. So we looked at quite a bit of where we wanted to cut, and based on the information we had, we couldn't figure that out. Our GM has proposed that what we do is we increase our income line items. And that what she would like to do is increase grants income another $50,000, and major donor income another $60,000.
Question, is that the $50,000 we've already gotten?
No, that's not the $50,000 we've already got. We have $60,000 budgeted. We've received $50,000, and we do know that we have proposals in the pipeline. Personally, I never budget grants that I don't have, but, you know, that's a judgment call. It's not, you know, unheard of to budget for grants that you hope you're going to get. So, you know, I am reporting to you that that's what our GM wants to do. She wants to increase the income line items in major donors and in grants. The committee, however, was not comfortable. I emailed you all the motion that they passed, which I'll read, which is the KPFK Finance Committee reports the need for budget adjustments of at least $110,000 in increased expenditures and corresponding expense reductions. However, the committee has not received adequate, appropriate, and regular financial reports upon which to base a responsible recommendation. The Finance Committee will continue to request reports and may recommend an appropriate budget adjustment in the third quarter of the fiscal year. So basically, that's my report, is that this is what that's what the GM wants to do. The Finance Committee has not said that, you know, they're completely against that, but they don't feel they have enough information based on what we're looking at and how far we think we will be behind at the end of the year to support that at this time, but we know that these are expenses that have to be paid.
So basically, there's not a formal motion for the board to consider at this point on the budget.
There is not, but I think it is appropriate if the Finance Committee feels that they want to go with the GM's suggestion. I think, you know, the Finance Committee has, I believe, authority to do that.
Right, but we don't have a statement from the GM as to exactly what is desired or anything like that, so.
Her desire is the 50,000 to grants and the 60,000 to grants and the 50,000 to major donors.
Okay, well, is a formal motion being put before the body right now?
I don't have a formal motion because I'm not sure what this body wants to do when the GM wants one thing and the committee does not.
And also, there's the question of whether there's an LSD-backed motion.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah, the LSB is aware of the changes that additional expenditures. They have not received financial reports this year to be able to show them where money has been spent and where it's not, where it hasn't been available.
Let me speak to that.
All right.
Well, we do that, but do it quickly. So, because it sounds like we don't have a motion here, and we want to consider national office adjustments.
Well, there are financial reports in October and November, I'm rushing December out ahead of schedule. That is the financial information. It does forecast in both the October-November document where you'll end up at the end of the year. I do a forecast every month. So it does forecast what your year-end position would be. The December will do the forecast again. And you can use that document, or you can look at October, November. So that information is available. Whether or not you want to take the risk of getting, you know, grant money and major donor money is another issue. That is.
Right. And I'll say, you know, everybody's gotten the October and November. They have seen them. You know, we've talked about them. And I don't mean to imply that, Lonnie, you're not getting the reports that you promised, you know. I'm not implying that. They just feel that looking at that and looking at the numbers we have, we don't know what our cash position is. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, it's a union contract. It's got to be paid. The person and the missing salary's already been hired. So,
what,
you know.
What job position? What position was that?
It's an assistant engineer.
Okay.
So, you know, what we thought was, well, we can go another 8 weeks and show a bigger variance and relook at it in another quarter, or we can go, you know, this committee can go ahead with the GM, what the GM wants.
This is Patty.
Okay, well, I want to, yeah, go ahead, Patty. We have 15 minutes allotted for this
agenda
item, so go ahead.
Where's the holdup in that you guys don't have the information? Is it local or national? I don't know. Understand where the problem is. You don't have the information to make a decision.
We have the October and November reports that came out of national that were distributed. The problem is when we get those reports and go through them, we're told that, no, these numbers can't be right. And then, you know, what I finally figured out after the last national committee meeting was when we keep asking for the local reports, and then, you know, we're told get them from local, and then local says we can't because we don't have them back from national. It's because, you know, the biggest line items, salary and everything, come out of national. So we're still asking for local reports, and we know that those numbers may not be in there. But that, I mean, a lot of it is just trying to figure out backtracking. I mean, if we go to October and November, we know what that is, but we don't have our cash standing, we don't have, and people just are feeling nervous about it, especially when we look at what we brought in for the fund drive.
Well, I just want to say on that that what we brought in, that what we budgeted this year was what we actually brought in last year, and this fund drive did what last year's fall fund drive did. So, I mean, I think it depends on how you look at it, whether we're behind or not. But I know that we did do what we did in our fall drive last year, and what we budgeted was the same listener support this year as last. Last year we didn't get the $50,000.
Shall we move on?
Let's do. Lonnie, National Office Budget Adjustments?
Well,
Before we go on to that, there is this one point, which is if what she's saying is true and these are union, you know, these things are going to go up because it's part of a union contract, what does it mean to go outside of your budget? And it's relevant to other stations as well.
Well, what can happen, and I'll just take Kay's example, you know, say the over, I'm not sure about the 55,000 additional, I think it's 55,000 total. But they'll simply overspend a line item and be asked to compensate for it in other areas, underspend some other line item. That's what can happen. There's no forecast, there's no budget adjustment, nothing changes except you identify a line item where you're going to overspend, and then you compensate some other line item or some other part of the budget. That's one thing that can happen. On the hiring of the additional staff person, the options are to, if that person was legitimately left out and it's a $45,000 item and the person is working, there are several options. One is identify funds in some other part of that budget so that the bottom line isn't violated. Reduce the time of the person on the basis of can't be afforded at that particular level. Another look at it in 3 months and overspend the line item over the period of time. I think that counting on grants and counting on increases in major donor is very risky to do, especially if you're around $100,000. That's large dollars. But if there were demonstration to get the funds in the door and those funds were available in advance, then you'd be looking at a different situation. But I'm always reluctant to spend money that I don't have, as we all are.
Okay, do you want to deal with the National Office Budget Adjustment situation?
Well, I may have to take my own advice here because we are going to have some unbudgeted items and expenditures at the National Office. The one I sent out to the board included the 2ED situation, $24,000. Then there's the additional expense we may look at for the LSBs coming to the board meeting. There will be additional expense if we...
How much is that forecast? I think I saw something that said it was around $3,200.
Yeah, it's got to be about $1,000 a person, and it's four people. About $4,000. Because we're starting earlier, this board meeting, with a training. And some people may want to stay a day late, so you end up with, I'd say to be safe, it's about $1,000 per person. Four people, $4,000. If we have business managers, ditto, another $4,000.
Ms. LaVarne, can I ask you a quick question?
So right now, like, 32,000 dollars additional expense that I may have to find money for the national to compensate for it, other than doing a budget change. I'm just going to have to look and see if I can reduce some expenses somewhere, or, you know, try to find additional revenue.